This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Why can't some teams and people just learn to lose when they need to lose? It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, presented by Progressive Insurance. I am Chris Carlin. He is Joey Vegas, Joe Fortenbaugh, who is back from UFC 300. How are you, my friend?
You'd be proud. Yesterday was a model of efficiency. Boarded a plane very early in the morning from Las Vegas. Layover in Detroit. Short layover, 40 minutes. Got off the plane, sat down, immediately unloaded. Not one, but two sports betting accounts on draft props because I can't bet here in Connecticut. Fired at will. Closed my computer, got on the plane, flew to Connecticut.
How long in between? Layover was how long?
Layover 40 minutes.
40-minute layover. 40 minutes. Is that the long terminal, the McNamara terminal at Detroit?
Very nicely done. Yeah, look at you. Terminal 1, McNamara, flew Delta, landed A19, departed A17. I walked off.
Oh,
like, this is
that's a break. Oh, my God.
That's how you get lots of sports betting done.
Because
people are listening right now. They're like, what are you talking about? Can't bet draft props in Connecticut. Knew going into Michigan I could bet draft props as soon as I landed. I fired, got on the plane, and flew out.
Let me tell you something. A19 with a connection at A17, that is a fat man's dream right there, my
friend. Dream scenario. Very minimal calories burned.
Outstanding. It's Carlin versus Joe. We get rolling today with the NBA playoffs and the play-in, which will start in a day or two. But more importantly, where some teams ended up in the seeding. And Joe, I do not understand why Tom Thibodeau would prioritize a last regular season game against the Chicago Bulls and continuing to try to win to close out the season when he would be much better served and the Knicks would be so much better served to finish in the 3 seed to face the Indiana Pacers. But no, they finish in the not important 2nd seed, not important whatsoever, and now they will have likely the Philadelphia 76ers in the first round. That is just asking for it. It was asinine. The Knicks should have rested everybody yesterday. I don't get what we're doing here. There are instances where you don't do it, and there are instances when you do, and this was dumb.
Yeah, but that's why we're here and they're there, right? They don't think like
really? That. Really? Because I saw plenty of teams that were willing to pack it in yesterday.
Like the Cavs. Cavs are losers. That's who they are. That organization, that is a loser organization. I'll tell you what right now. I was going to save this for later. I'll tell you right now. I was so embarrassed for them and their fan base. I'll get a tattoo of the Cavs logo on my left butt cheek if they win the Eastern Conference. I have zero faith in them because they are losers. They have a loser mentality, and while they might get past Orlando because Orlando can't beat anyone with a pulse, let alone an actual good team, they're going down in flames. What you saw from the Knicks yesterday is what you'd see in Game 1, Game 50, and Game 7 of the NBA playoffs. They go out there and they compete to win. It's the mindset. It's the mentality of how they do their work. They're tough. They're gritty. They might not be efficient. They might not have the best path to the playoffs, but they don't think like that. Any champion, any historical great that you study, all are made up of the same thing. They are incredibly psychotic competitors. Max Verstappen in Formula One is a complete lunatic. Read Mamba Mentality by Kobe Bryant to see what he's about. Tiger Woods in golf. Tom Brady in football. The list goes on and on. These people operate on a different plane than we do. They don't understand the idea of intentionally losing a game so that you can jockey for a better opponent so that the playoffs might be easier. The playoffs aren't meant to be easy. It's the ultimate test. And if you're the New York Knicks, you're not going to lay down in game 82, so you might get a more favorable opponent in the opening round. They play to win and they play hard. We might not understand it. We might think it's better for them to go ahead and roll over so they get the easier matchup, but that is not how people like them think.
So just to be clear, you just put Tom Thibodeau on the parallel of Woods and Brady and all the great champions of all time.
His mindset, yes.
Yes. Well, the problem with that is in 12 years as a head coach, he's been to the conference finals once. And this is a big part of why. We have to play everybody 40-some minutes a game. Why is Jalen Brunson playing 41 minutes yesterday in a 120-119 overtime win? It makes absolutely no sense. And this is not about the favorable opponent. This is about the matchup. The Knicks don't match up great with the 76ers, and we can talk all we want about regular season games and all that stuff. Here's what I know. Joel Embiid, when he is on the floor, means that the Sixers are 31-8 this season. 31-8. He is back. He is healthy. That is a bad matchup for the Knicks. Even if they have bodies to throw at him, he can go off for 45 at any moment, and they will have no answer for it. Would you like the Knicks' chances to win better against the Sixers or against the Pacers? It's not close. And Tim Legler is one that recognizes why this was such an important scenario for the Knicks. Here he is on Get Up.
Well, look, you don't want to play Philadelphia. That'd be my call. The way that they looked when Embiid came back, and assuming he's fully healthy going into the postseason, you do not want to see the Philadelphia 76ers. Obviously, Jimmy Butler's got a playoff track record, but Philly would be the team because Joel Embiid is so unique in what you have to do to prepare for him. Do you have the personnel? Do you have the scheme? He's one of the best mid-range jump shooters in the entire league. Miami, they've got the track record of flipping that switch. I don't think that's going to happen this year. I think the Knicks would be okay in that series. Philadelphia is the team that you don't want to have to play.
This is laughable. This whole thing is laughable. We're all scared of the biggest fraud historically in the NBA. That's who we're worried about, ladies and gentlemen. The team that built their entire reputation on losing more than anybody else. Because if we lose now, we'll win later. Trust us, everyone. It's a process. We're just going to lose a whole bunch now, but don't worry, down the line, we'll be winning. How has that worked out? It hasn't worked out jack squat. They've beaten nobody. They've achieved nothing. They haven't gotten past the second round of the playoffs. But now all of a sudden, ladies and gentlemen, big bad Philadelphia, no one wants to play them because they kind of got hot when Joel Embiid, the reigning MVP, came back. Did that surprise anyone that Philadelphia won a bunch of regular season games with Joel Embiid? It shouldn't surprise you. What are you going to do if you're the Knicks? You're going to run from everybody? You think everyone's just going to get hurt and move aside so you can win a championship?
No. If the
this is what
role
plays
been,
boxing no, now. No, no one wants to fight anybody.
No. If the role had been reversed, if the Knicks, by winning, would have been playing the Pacers, wouldn't you agree that the Pacers are a better matchup for the Knicks than the Sixers?
Yes. It's
well, that's
matchup.
My point. I think when you're hitting a team that we all know is better than the seventh seed, if you have everybody on the floor, that's a bad matchup to draw in round one. Now, listen, I'll be fair. I'm certainly, while I'm not alone in this thought process, you have plenty of supporters on your side, too. Listen to Perk talk about this situation.
I think a lot of people out there will probably pick the 76ers, and they're crazy as hell. I think the Knicks would smoke them. The Knicks are in a great spot right now, the way that they're playing, led by Jalen Brunson. I understand Joel Embiid has come back, and he's looked, you know, somewhat of what Joel Embiid looked like before he got injured, but he still doesn't have that lift.
Let me ask you this question, okay? If we had a matchup of the Knicks and Sixers in this first round, who's favored in that matchup?
Pick 'em. I reached out to Jeff Benson from Circus Sports. He said it would be pick 'em. Now, he said the market could move it to Philadelphia as a favorite, mm-hmm. but it'd be pick 'em because the Knicks are going to have four home games versus the Sixers having three, assuming it goes seven games. That's the key difference in the matchup when it comes to price making. So they see it as a pick'em.
Do you see it as a pick'em?
I see it as Philadelphia. I agree with what he said, that the market would move it to Philadelphia as the favorite. But again, I'm not picking the Knicks to beat the Sixers or the Sixers to beat the Knicks. This is about mindset. I study all this stuff. I love studying the minds of champions.
Yep.
Love it. The idea of what the Knicks are doing, not looking at who's Orlando playing tonight because maybe we should consider resting in the third but then playing our starters in the fourth and then maybe pulling them out with 2 minutes to go so that we maximize our opportunity to avoid the really tough matchups. Like, look, go out there, handle your business, play to win. People think it's so easy to just come in and set a mindset of, hey, you know, today it's going to be an off day, everyone. Take it easy. And then tomorrow we're going to play hard. And then in 3 weeks, we're going to take it easy again. Like, you build a culture around something and you stick to it. I appreciate what the Knicks are doing. I applaud what they're doing. It's a championship mindset. Will it lead to a championship? Probably not, because 29 teams are going to come away empty-handed, but I like the mental toughness. And there's something to be said about it. They're probably not here right now as the two seed without that mental toughness. Weak teams like Cleveland, they're sitting where they're sitting. Weak teams like Chicago and Atlanta are sitting where they're sitting. The Knicks earned the two seed after an 82-game regular season because of this mindset. I wouldn't back away from it now.
No, the Knicks earned the two seed because the Bucks did the right thing and tanked it yesterday.
Right.
That's why they won.
The Bucks have made so many good decisions this year. Let's go ahead and look at yesterday's and once again applaud the Bucks for yet another great strategic move. The Bucks running from the Sixers should surprise no one. If I'm the Bucks, I'm running from everybody right now.
Now, let me ask you, the one last thing I would say is, I don't disagree with the mindset. Okay, I get where you're coming from.
It kind of sounds like you do, though.
No, but I'm being pragmatic in particular situations, and that's what I'm being here. But then I hear this, and I feel even more confident in what I'm saying. I hear this from Stephen A. Smith.
Hit it. Hell yeah! Why wouldn't I? Why wouldn't I? New York Knicks going to the conference finals.
That
feels like that's taken out of context.
No, it's not, because I could play the rest of the 50 seconds, and it's the exact same thing. When I hear the tone change in Stephen A., I know that rationale is out the window. I know we're into fan mode, and that's what that was. And that is one of the foremost NBA minds out there, and I know he's not speaking pragmatically there. I feel great about what I'm saying, and when the Knicks go down in the first round and the Bucks move on, I think maybe, you know, your hours spending reading mindset books will be an incredible waste of time that you will feel, and you'll be questioning everything about your life.
I mean, I think you just overlook how easy it is to just go ahead and say, today we're not going to try hard, but don't worry, everyone, we're going to trust you tomorrow to try hard. And then the day after, like, you just keep giving people reasons to not give their all. Eventually, like, that kind of turns into the culture.
It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio. We are just getting started. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. And if you thought this argument was stupid, well, we've got a lot more stupid coming your way, baby. And it's not even from us this time. What do you hear about what Greeny said about the Lakers this morning? You'll see. I speak in pragmatic, individual situation terms. And you'll see what I'm talking about next. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, and on Sirius XM Channel 80.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Score, Lakers 124, Pelicans 108. The Lakers earn the 8th seed and will play here Tuesday.
The chess game has been ignited. You know, we're all for it.
Listen, we can be all out there a little bit, and then there's just absolute absurdity, which is what Greeny is bringing to the table this morning. It's Carlin versus Joe. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle home, auto, or motorcycle insurance. Visit progressive.com. This, I mean, I really, here's the thing. You're screaming at me a few minutes ago. Even I couldn't get over this. Here's Greeny this morning on Get Up talking about what the Lakers should do in their first play-in game.
I'm going to say something in duck because I know that it is controversial and I know that it flies in the face of absolutely everything that the spirit of competition was born to create. And you just said, Herman Edwards, you play to win the game. The Lakers should not play tomorrow night. They should not play LeBron. They should not play AD. They do not want to be the 7th seed. You want to be the 8. I'm taking my chances in a one and done at home against either Sacramento or Golden State and go in against the very young OKC Thunder in round one instead of going into the buzzsaw that is Denver. I think it is worth the risk.
I understand what he's saying because it's an argument I was just making a moment ago.
Literally, you just made this argument.
Except for one thing.
Oh, what's that?
This is a play-in tournament, which could send you home just as easily.
Oh, I get it.
I think for a minute that the Lakers are a lock to beat either Sacramento or Golden State? I do not. In a one-and-done scenario, absolutely not. You don't rest your guys. You don't sit out for the better matchup when you're in the play-in tournament, and we're talking about a one-and-done scenario. You're trying to get in and get in as quickly as possible. And if we're talking about AD being out there, the Lakers actually benefit a lot more from the rest that they would get by winning and just getting it over with tomorrow night.
It's incredible. Incredible to stand on ceremony right now for me.
Why?
Just incredible. You can't come out and open a show with a huge rant about how the Knicks made a mistake by playing hard and winning a game at the end of the season, and then in the next segment go all in on Greeny for suggesting the Lakers should try to duck somebody in order to get a more favorable matchup. It's the same thing. You and him are on the same side arguing the same thing. Don't do this big thing where you come out and stand up and go after Greenberg when you just 5 minutes ago said the Knicks were idiots for not ducking the opposition of the Philadelphia 76ers. What makes you and him any different?
How is it possible that you can't see what the difference is?
Is your difference simply it's a little bit more risky because if you end up losing this game, you end up getting knocked out of the playoffs?
We're talking about going home. We're talking about one game. We're talking about actually being given two chances and saying, no, I'm going to toss one of them away. What I'm talking about is one particular team with a bad matchup against another particular team in a 7-game series.
Yeah. Greenberg's arguing that against Denver it's a bad matchup?
But here's the difference. The Knicks were not going home if they lost yesterday.
Oh, I get it.
The Knicks were benefiting from that.
Okay.
It's their season is over.
Right.
No, they're going to the playoffs.
No, this is
The Lakers are not good enough to put themselves in a position where they can toss aside in essence, playoff game just go and roll it on one
game. But Milwaukee is. This is so laughable.
Milwaukee's not going home.
This is embarrassing.
This team, we're talking about a one-game scenario versus teams that are already going to the playoffs.
Two teams are intentionally losing one game to get a more favorable matchup.
Over a 7-game series.
In one scenario, you're okay with it. In one scenario, you're not. Like
A 7-game series versus a one-and-done series.
Good God, man. Like the manner, imagine you managing a team and how difficult it would be for anyone to understand what's serious and what's not when 1 minute you're telling them they should play hard and the next minute they should lay down for a more favorable matchup. What a soft mentality. This is the entire problem with so much of what goes on in this country right now. Everyone wants the easy path. Everyone wants to avoid controversy. They want to avoid conflict. They want to avoid competition. They want to avoid adversity. They want to avoid everything. We just want everything to be so easy. If you're the Lakers, you go out, you win the game, you handle your business, you go to the playoffs, you play who you get. It's LeBron James and Anthony Davis. If you don't have enough to get by Denver, so be it. Greenberg's advocating nonsense. It's absolute nonsense. The idea of a 48-minute game where you could go cold, your opponent could go white hot, you could have someone roll an ankle. Look at the Sarukian-Oliveira fight. Handman will understand that. Sarukian slipped at the beginning of that fight, and in the opening minute, he almost got choked out because Oliveira had him. almost got choked out. One little thing can go wrong in a small sample, and it's done. You take what's in front of you, you go out, and you play to win. The Lakers should go play to win. Greenberg's advocating nonsense. Sure, it might be interesting to discuss for a minute, but it's nonsense. And the idea of laying down in game 82 to get a more favorable matchup, if you're going to win a championship, you're going to have to go through tough teams. What is this idea that we should just try to stack the deck so we play nothing but easy teams? And you, why is it okay in 1 minute and not the other? Because you found some little technicality that suddenly the second play-in game is more important than game 82?
No, I've explained it three times. And what I've explained is one is about a seven-game series matchup, and one is about everything you just said, leaving it to a one-game situation where you can go cold and where the other team can go white hot. Absolutely true. Agree on all of that. Can we take a timeout for a second? When we cut to Handman right there,
yeah,
as you referenced him, the knowing nod that Handman gave, like having the knowledge of a 65-year-old veteran of the fight game.
It was wisdom.
Was, I mean, oh my Lord, it was fantastic. It was the slightest of nods. It was just, I know that you, like me, appreciate the nuance.
Yeah.
The nuance of this show from a video standpoint, I only wish that I could show it to the audio audience right now, because as we cut to Handman and he gives you the wisdom nod of just a sage, was amazing.
He knows. We all know. We all bet Sarukian, and we saw that whole thing possibly go up in flames. Did we not? In the opening minute of that fight, the whole thing almost went up in flames because of a slip.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he almost choked him out. It was like a good 45 seconds of, you thought this could be over at any moment.
And I had overextended myself on that bet too, because I had gotten into some trouble with some previous fights. So I was chasing, and I was watching my entire night go up in flames there. Thank God he got out of that guillotine.
So let me ask you this.
The at old any guillotine point, reference, pay the under.
At any point this weekend, did it get irresponsible wagering?
Yeah, that fight, and then I got myself back to about even, and then I dug another massive hole, and then the last fight was incredibly irresponsible. If you're following me on Twitter, if you're following the bets on Twitter, like you saw the end of the night, you're like, this guy ended up down. And I did end up down with all the picks I gave out, but I was able financially on my own account to actually get back to slightly above even, because there was no way I could possibly recommend anybody following me on Twitter to do what I actually did in real life. Like, right. I want to put out good information, stuff I'm doing, but when I'm doing something reckless, I'm not going to advise anybody else do that. It got really reckless in that last fight.
Sometimes when you are trying to save someone, the best thing to do is cut the rope.
Yeah.
But you don't want anybody to know that.
What's the movie where that happened? There's a couple movies where some guy's dangling and he's got to cut the rope because he weighs too much. It feels like this is an obvious one.
That's happened about every other movie that ever included a helicopter. I can't name any.
None of us.
Right,
none
away
of us have it off the top of our head. Where the guy's down there and he's looking up and he's like, he's yelling, "Don't!" Day After Tomorrow, Gyllenhaal, Randy Quaid,
Bang.
There it is. He's trying to go save his son. They're at the mall. The glass collapses, and the old guy who's down there the rope. Yeah.
Good call.
I bailed myself out. I look at you three losers. Thanks for nothing.
Dennis,
that's what I'm
right?
thinking right now. What?
Dennis Quaid?
Doesn't matter. Now's not the time for you to jump in. I set it up
Quaid
for you 5 minutes ago.
There's a big difference between Randy and Dennis Quaid.
There's
though
a significant, significant
although,
difference
I mean,
there.
If we're talking about Independence Day, Randy Quaid, he fell on it, so to speak, because he went, you know, he went right up and took out the entirety of the aliens.
And that leads to an incredible point that Will Smith gets so much credit in that movie when it's actually Randy Quaid that shows everyone how to take down the aliens.
Randy
like
Quaid.
Goldblum gets a lot of credit for being on a computer.
Yeah.
Sorry, Randy Quaid was out there actually getting things done.
Those two dopes were ready to pack it in. They had a couple of cigars in their mouths.
Yeah.
I mean, they were done. And now all of a sudden, luckily, they just get jimmied free. And then Will Smith can hit the gas and get out of there. Come on. Please. If they're not flying one of their own ships of the aliens, they're dead as a doornail. We know that.
So just in summation here, the whether or not the Lakers should intentionally lose play-in game one ends with Independence Day and Will Smith being overrated for what he did in that movie. That's how we went from A to B. And we did that in about 10 minutes.
That's how we drew it up. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. Why two news stories today put the entire offseason for two NFL rivals just in a nutshell. You know, my friends, it's the perfect time to gear up and connect to quality candidates. There's no better way to do that than through Indeed, the hiring platform that makes it easy to attract, screen, and interview candidates all in the same place. Their interview tool helps you schedule and conduct video interviews right from your employer dashboard. Nix the hassle. Start hiring Indeed.com/credit.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
Well, you talk about the tale of two organizations, kind of tells you everything. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80, presented by Progressive Insurance. So we've got news today from both the Eagles and the Cowboys, okay? Number one, the Eagles. Eagles and DeVonta Smith have agreed on an extension. They picked up his fifth-year option and then added a three-year extension to it. So altogether, 4 years, $90.59 million, keeps him in Philly through 2028, had the $15.59 million fifth-year option picked up, three at 75 on top of that, north of 50 guaranteed. All right, so the Eagles, very smartly, are moving ahead of the wide receiver free agent class right now to get a deal done in very proactive fashion. Very smart. The Cowboys. CeeDee Lamb isn't expected to attend the start of Dallas's voluntary offseason program today while he awaits a new contract to replace the one scheduled to pay him the $17.1 million for this coming year. What are we doing? What are we doing? We're acting like the Cowboys and we're acting like the Eagles. Now, while you and I are kind of down on the Eagles for everything that happened at the end of last year and a little bit unsure of where they're headed, we can never argue with how they operate in the front office because they are proactive. They do things in a very smart way. I think there are things that they get fortunate on, so frankly, lucky with some decisions they wanted to make, but then ended up with a decision that would have worked out better. And then you've got the Cowboys who are more than comfortable sitting around and letting it fall in front of them and then having to pay a ridiculous more amount of money than they would have had they just been proactive.
It's a fun little divisional angle because Smith has been in the league 1 year less than CeeDee Lamb. Yep. Lamb came out in 20, Smith came out in 2021. So the idea that Smith's already getting himself a bag before Lamb, when Lamb is coming off a monster season, has got to chap him the wrong way. Now, granted, Smith's taking a bit of a discount here because he's getting the deal earlier, but that's something the Eagles have prioritized. The idea of, look, we know how you think as a player. Your last game could be right around the corner at any moment. This is a violent sport that leads to violent significant injuries. So you're going to want the money now. So we'll go ahead and we'll pay you now. We'll give you the bag. You're just not going to cash in at record value in most instances because you're getting some leeway from us. That's a negotiation. That's a compromise. You want money now, but you won't get as much, and that'll help us. On the other side, and I'm going to just ask you this, what do you think it is about Dallas that leads them down this road so often? Do you think it's incompetence, or do you think this is an actual negotiating strategy on their behalf?
I think it's one that leads into the other. I think it is a negotiating strategy on their behalf, and it's an incompetent strategy.
Okay.
How about that?
Okay, yeah, no, that can work.
And the reason is...
We've seen all types of marriages in this country.
Yeah. This makes absolutely no sense when you have done the same thing with a couple of what we would call your core pieces. I can make the case for what they have done with Dak. It's still a bad strategy because I don't know what the answer. What's a Joe Fortenbaugh saying? Like, if you're going to make a decision on somebody that he's not the guy, you better have the answer.
Right.
Is that a Joe Fortenbaugh strategy?
Well, it's along the... I don't think so. Doesn't sound like me.
All right, well,
like
I'm assigning
me.
It to you anyway.
Mine is one of those, don't throw me a problem, throw me a solution with it.
Yes.
Like, if anyone
Same
can
thing.
Point out the problem.
Yes, exactly.
Maybe that's what you're going for. Maybe not. We'll get there. It's Monday. We're working. We're working. Yeah. We're grinding.
Just take it. It's a compliment. More than anything, that's what it is. And that's how it was meant.
You butchering a phrase I may or may not have said, tough to take that as a compliment.
Well, it's a philosophy, and it's a pragmatic philosophy, and I think that you have always been a pragmatist, except when it comes to irresponsible gambling late on a Saturday night at UFC 300.
Neither here nor there at the moment.
No. For me, it's just about being able to put yourself in a better position to succeed. And what I am curious about, Joe, is what is it about handling contracts this way of players that do produce for you put you in a better position to succeed? The Cowboys could have been in a better position to maybe add a piece or two if they had gotten some of these things done proactively. They are a reactive organization. Reactive doesn't win. Doesn't win. It doesn't win.
I think, I don't think they're very good at player evaluation. They might be in the draft process. But I think when they're actually scouting their own players, because they're good at drafting good players. Like, look at the offensive line they built up over the last decade plus. It was the best in the NFL for the longest time. Look at the Micah Parsons selection, the CeeDee Lamb selection, Dak Prescott in what, the fourth round? Like, they've done a really good job in a lot of instances of drafting good players. They just don't know what to do once those players live up to their potential. They don't know the timing of when to offer them contracts and how to make it work for both parties. It feels like with Dallas, so often it has to be on their terms and it has to be done their way. And then when they get to do it their way, oftentimes it blows up in their face. Like, look at the Ezekiel Elliott deal. Everyone on earth knew that that was going to be a terrible deal. It was a terrible deal. It was as obvious for any average sports fan to see that the guy had a ton of wear. He had put up huge numbers. You were going to pay him to continue putting up huge numbers that physically he was not going to be able to produce, but you were going to pay him to do that, and it wasn't going to be a good deal, and it turned out to be an awful deal. And now you just are kind of screwing around with these players. Like, CeeDee Lamb has shown you he's a cornerstone wide receiver. Just pay him. Get it over with. It's not like a better opportunity is going to come down the road unless he suffers a significant injury and you think you can buy low on him, but even then, you now have the risk of the guy coming off the significant injury. Do you want that?
No. No. I do think there are times that Jerry puts entirely too much of a premium on being a Dallas Cowboy. I think that's something.
Good point.
That plays into it. It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio. Sirius XM Channel 80. On the TuneIn app as well, there's another NFC East team who may have finally found their franchise quarterback. It's next. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, and on the iHeartRadio app.
Barbasol Shaving Cream. You're looking good, America. You're shaving with Barbasol. Close Shave America, Close Shave Barbasol.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio. the NFL Draft on ESPN Radio.
It's time to have some fun.
Live from the heart of downtown Detroit.
This is the most fascinating NFL draft I've ever been associated with.
The Chicago Bears select
the NFL Draft, Thursday, April 25th on ESPN Radio, ESPN, and on ABC.
I tell you what, I'm beyond excited for the NFL Draft. I could not be more jacked up for it. We are going to have you covered from front to back on ESPN, and of course, on ESPN Radio as well. Joe, I can't get to Detroit fast enough. I got to be honest. Really looking forward to it.
I'm so excited. I was there yesterday.
Well, of course you were.
I was on a layover on the way home. Wasn't by design necessarily, but yeah, it's ready. They're ready in Motown. Ready.
Interesting question, just real quick, philosophically. Does it count that you've been to a state if you simply have a layover?
I say yes to that because your feet have touched down in the state. So I would say yes. Now, okay. If someone, like, for example, I have physically been to Nashville. I've been to the airport. But if anyone's like, what do you think of Nashville? I then say, I've only been to the airport, so I can't really give you an opinion.
Right.
So I say it counts, yeah.
I would say their Auntie Anne's would match up with anybody else's in the country. That's what I would say. And that's how I feel about Salt Lake City, because I was thinking about that the other day. I have been to Utah, and that, I don't even know why I was thinking about whether or not I'd been to Utah.
Well, the good news for us is you shared it with us, and that's what's important.
You're welcome. Joe, this weekend, very, very interesting comments from Adam Schefter regarding the Washington Commanders. He went on the Trap or Dive podcast, which is a Washington Commanders podcast, and pretty much gave us what we needed to know about the Commanders at number two.
Good luck to your Commanders in the draft as well.
I think you go
get those Jaden Daniels jerseys. I think you go get that.
Ooh. I think you can go ahead and get those Jaden Daniels jerseys, Joseph. Your thoughts?
Well, now you know exactly what I was betting as soon as I landed in Detroit.
That was good enough for you.
That was enough for that type of thing's enough for me. Let's play this one more time. Can we play this one more time? Now think about this. This is Adam Schefter on a podcast being asked and discussing the number two overall pick. Let's listen to this one more time.
Good luck to your Commanders in the draft as well.
I think you go
get those Jaden Daniels jerseys. I think you go get that.
Is there anybody in this industry, not just the football side of it, count Woj in basketball, count Passan in baseball, anybody in this industry that you think is more of a straight shooter than Adam Schefter? Schefter does not BS with people. Schefter doesn't just float things, right?
Yeah.
Like, remember when Wendy was sitting at the desk doing the famous thing about Rudy Gobert and all this?
Right.
Like,
two
Wendy,
fingers in the air.
Wendy didn't just think that was funny. He didn't just come up with that in the bathroom and think, you know what, this will make for good TV. Wendy knew what was going on, but he couldn't necessarily report it, so he did it like that. Like, there's a these guys are outstanding at their job because they are as dialed in, as buttoned up as possible. So when he says that, now, I'm not going to say he's got some inside source telling that. It's not for me to speculate, but Schefter saying that gets me betting on Daniels number two. And I'm not alone, because Daniels was right around minus 170, meaning risk 170 to win $100, minus 170 to go number two. After those comments, that's now up to minus 275.
Wow.
Like, that moves the market. The market reacts to things like that. And I'm fully confident in that comment as well. I had already bet Daniels number two overall. When I landed in Detroit, it was in the wake of those comments. I did as much as I could to get down on that. I believe in Adam Schefter's comments.
Listen, I do too. If it was anybody else, I would say they were throwing it out there so that he could throw everybody off the trail and then go bet on Drake May. But he can't bet, so not allowed to as an ESPN insider. Joe, listen, Jaden Daniels is the second best quarterback in this draft, and it's not one and two, it's one and 1A. This guy can do everything. And the idea about his frame being too slight has already been tossed aside. The Commanders would be out of their minds to not take Jaden Daniels here. He is going to be a franchise quarterback that will be transformational for Washington, and that would have been enough for me, but right there, that locked it down. It absolutely locked it down. I couldn't agree more? I mean, I've heard that the Commanders this weekend, there were reports out there that they've taken a lot of calls on the number two pick. I don't care what the calls are right now. I don't care. I don't think you can give the Commanders what you would have to in order to go get that pick.
They are. I think I heard this on Get Up this morning. They are set to have meetings with Drake May and I think J.J. McCarthy in the very near future here. They're doing their due diligence.
This week.
Yeah, and it's not going to surprise me if, you know, because of the way they've handled this so tight-lipped, people would call about trading up. Maybe they think Washington isn't necessarily sold on these guys, so whoever wants to trade up would trade up for Daniels. So I fully endorse it. Like, I love what I've seen from that kid. Too often we see these kids play awesome in college and then we just think, I don't know, it's not going to translate. Like, what's the problem? I keep hearing the same thing. He's a bit skinny. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. He's a bit skinny. Okay. He's a bit skinny. That's a huge problem for me. Did he win games? Did he play tough competition? Did he show up in big spots? Yeah, he did all that. He rolled up massive numbers. If LSU had any semblance of a defense, he would have been in the college football playoff because he wasn't the problem. Brian Kelly had a crap defense. That's why LSU couldn't do anything. Now, that wasn't the only big move that happened in the market this weekend. I got another one for you.
Yeah.
You know, we've been locked into this idea for a couple months now that Bo Nix is a first rounder. Well, Nix could go to Denver, or Nix could go to Minnesota, Nix could go to the Raiders. Bo Nix right now has a player prop up. You can bet the over-under on when Bo Nix is drafted. The number is 32.5, which means if you bet the under, he has to go in the first round, first 32 picks. You bet the over, he's got to go undrafted that first day. If he goes 33 or later, you win that bet. The over is juiced to minus 200, meaning it's the favorite. Bo Nix is a favorite to not go in the first round. What does that do to you inside that big melon of yours after the last 2 months? He's been locked in almost everywhere mock draft-wise in the first round.
So just to really complicate it even further, there have been a couple of people that I've spoken to, as you know, as I'm getting ready for the draft.
Oh, yeah.
About Bo Nix. One of them, the quote was, and this is, you know, pretty good high-level talent evaluator in the league, he's the real deal. Loved him. Absolutely loved him. Another one, he's a low-end starter, which means low-end starter to me, when you say that, means low-end starter or a backup quarterback. He feels like the guy that could slide right now. There's always somebody, right? There's always somebody. And Will Levis slid last year because people just frankly didn't like his attitude in general. Like, they didn't think he was the greatest guy in the world. That's what happened there. I don't think that's what's going on here with Bo Nix. I think his teammates loved him. I think you see a lot of good things about him. But there are the doubts that are popping up right now that we'll see him be that guy. If I were to bet that, I would bet early second round. The only thing that will keep that from happening, and this is something I think is very interesting between Nix and Michael Penix right now. Will somebody, Joe, early to mid of that second round, try to trade up to the tail end of the first round so that they can take a quarterback in Nix or Penix and get the fifth-year option?
We are of the belief that that is extremely valuable. We've been preaching that for years. Is it that valuable?
I think it's valuable. I don't think it's extremely valuable. And if you're going to trade up to the 32-33 area, or to the, I'm sorry, to the 33-34 area, why not try to push it a little bit?
But do you want that? That whole fifth-year option was part of the hang-up on Justin Fields getting moved. Mm-hmm. Like, that was a big hang-up there. I don't know if everyone views that fifth-year option with quarterbacks to be as valuable as we originally thought it was.
I still think it's pretty valuable, from what I can gather. I still think that's pretty valuable. That means something to teams. And they do feel like, all right, did they expect to be trading Fields away? They did not. Let's remember, that was special circumstance. That does not happen all the time. I think it still means something to teams, and be careful of that.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.